On Sunday morning, we're going to be back here at 10 a.m., and then we'll be down in Town Square at 7 with the bridge. So it's not the 25th yet. Oh, Ted's like, Tully, you remember you ordered meat from Eagle's Nest for 250 people. You need everyone to show up tonight, 5 o'clock. Everyone get a good belly laugh. Go, no, come on, everyone get a good belly laugh. I heard there's some great talent. I heard there's a jokester coming. Uh-huh. But before we do that, before we get there, this is Catherine Worley. I appreciate the Worley Birds. 6 here on Earth. 7 here on Earth. I can't keep up with you. Can we come out for? Some of today was inspired by Catherine. Years ago, Catherine was leading dance. If I get this incorrect, you have to tell me. But and the dance was birthed out of a place of you asking the Lord, like, what would it have been like to be Mary? But she never got to share it in word form. So we asked if she would share it today. Lord, I thank you that Catherine is a vessel. She's a vessel of honor. The Spirit of God, you live inside of her. And Lord, as she shares your word today, Lord, I thank you that we get to be captivated. Amen.
Hi there. Oh, I love having the kids in here. So when I first started to pray about speaking this morning, actually, before I do that, tying in a couple of the things that have happened in the service, Michelle, I don't know where you are. There you are. The choreography for the dance, did you all intend to lift the light to the four corners of the world? Was that built in? Ha, 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 ha. Did you see that? And then it tied in with Anna's video. So I don't know if you noticed the choreography, but they lifted their lights to every direction, north, south, east, and west. And so that was a prophetic agreement with Anna's video. So anyway, it's neat to see the Lord tie things together. But I was praying about what to share this morning, because if you start to think about Mary, you can go a lot of different directions. My gut instinct, of course, is to talk motherhood. But that didn't feel right. Because it started to sound like a parenting convention, and I didn't feel like that was what we were doing this morning. So as I prayed, I really felt like the Lord said, talk to them about carrying hope, how to carry hope. And so that's where we're going, and I'll try to keep it brief. I have a page full of notes, so I'm going to try and skim in and out of them, because I don't think I can get it all in 15 minutes. So ready? Let's talk about hope, because you all know that you are carriers of hope, right? Right? You know, if you're born again, then Christ lives inside of you, and there is hope in that when he indwells you, his Holy Spirit indwells you. Are you with me? I'm a teacher. I need you to talk back. I don't intend to teach this morning. I will encourage you this morning, but I need you to talk back. Yeah. But we are carriers of hope. And carriers of a promise. And I believe that Mary is an amazing example of the process of how you carry a promise to fruition, right? So remember, it's like it started as a thought, yes? Then it became a word, and then he was born. And the thought at first, if you kind of wind your brain back to when the angel visited Mary, she couldn't even wrap her brain around the thought. What? I'm going to what? I felt that way a couple times, but I was married. But Mary had to receive the word. So there's 3 steps, and you're going to repeat them after me. Are you ready? Number 1 is that you receive a word. Nice, you're getting there. The second is that you carry the word. Uh-huh. That requires you to engage faith. You don't have to say that. You can say engage faith to carry the word. And then the third one is brought forth. Brought forth. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So let me lay a couple foundational verses, which have already kind of come out in what we've talked about this morning. The first one is Ephesians 2:10. And it says, thanks, Amy, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Yes, before the foundations of the earth, all the days ordained were written, before one of them ever came to be, you know, all those good promises we have. That's part of that hope, right? All right, so that's one. The second one is Romans 10:17. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Correct. So that's awesome. If you kind of think about both of those thoughts together when we talked about engaging faith to carry the word, because the process of carrying a word is similar to the process of carrying a child. It's not easy, okay? Carrying a word requires you to engage faith, and that comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. All right. So step one, receive the word. Mary has an angel come to visit. You all know the story, right? Yes. Okay. Mary has an angel come to visit. It's in Luke 1. I want to highlight some things. Let me find it. I don't have one of those fancy electronic Bibles. It's verse 37. No, verse 31. Okay. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. Okay, there's two. Great, he'll be great. He'll be the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Wow, that's a whole lot. You know, a lot of us just mostly find out that we're pregnant, and that's pretty exciting, right? But Mary got almost a resume when she found out who she was carrying. Can I read that to you again? He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Right? Remember that promise? And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. All right, so there's a word and also a description of Jesus, right? And she has this thing to wrap her brain around, and she has an amazing response. Do you remember her response? So, well, her first response is, what? Right? How can this be, since I'm a virgin? And then the angel tells her that the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. You guys know all of this. I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail. But then Mary's response, you know, how can this be? Okay, well, the Holy Spirit's going to do it. And then what does she say? So be it. As your word is, let it be in my life. All right, so let's talk promises and let's talk hope. You have a word, you have a promise, yes? And then the Lord gives you that word and you have to receive it. So you have to come into agreement with this promise. Some of the very early stages of our lives, it's like the promise of salvation. You have to receive that, right? The promise of the Holy Spirit. You have to be active in receiving. But if you're talking about what you do on a daily basis and vision for your life and vision for your family and vision for, you know, what you're called to live out, that work that we talked about at the beginning in Ephesians, if you're looking for that promise, you receive it. Does that make sense? Are you with me? All right. So, this is the other part that stood out to me. When I was reading through Luke 1, the verse that kept pinging in my spirit before I could even get to it was the one that says, nothing is impossible with God. Okay? So, I read that, but then, of course, I did the Rick thing, and I'm kind of dissecting the words, and what does this word really mean? And did you know that that word nothing actually means no word will be impossible with God? Do you know that? So let's read it the way that it gets broken down. Are you ready? This is verse 37. And I'll back up. Yeah. So ready? For no word will be impossible with God. Well, that's a pretty simple statement. So I want to back up a little bit. Mary says, how can this be? Remember, she's wrapping her brain around it. How can this be since I am a virgin? And then he says, the Holy Spirit's going to do it. And then he says, for no word will be impossible with God. So how many of you guys in here feel like you have a word that is sitting in your gut? Like it's in you. You know it's in you. Okay, so it's me and Rick. Anybody else have a word? Do you have a promise? Maybe it's an older promise. Maybe it's something that the Lord spoke over you years ago. Anybody have a promise that you're waiting for? Okay, no word is impossible with God. How cool is that? All right. So then her response after the angel says, but no word is impossible, is, so be it. Let it be. I can walk in this. That's a statement of faith. If there's ever a statement in faith in the entire Bible, you have to understand, remember, everything hinges on her being willing to do this, right? So she's got to say, okay, I can carry this word. I can carry this child. I can carry this promise, because the promise leads to the birth. The birth leads to the, come on, the death. Burial and resurrection. If Jesus was never born, how was he supposed to die? You have to be willing to carry the word, right? That God's put before you to carry. In a couple of different places in that, Mary is called the favored one. And I used to feel like, oh yeah, so Mary had all the credentials to be Mary. And that's part of what the last time I had this in me to talk about. It was about being favored by God. And I can remember, we were one time, gosh, this was back in the early, early days of Dwelling Place, and the sanctuary was facing that way. But I can remember being in a prayer group, and somebody putting their finger on my head and saying, you're the one. And I didn't understand it at the time, but do you know that the Lord is saying that about you, and you, and you, and you, and you? Do you know that? You're the one for that promise that he has instilled or, put inside of you. You're the one to carry that, not anybody else. And if it's for this body or if it's for this community, however you live that promise out is your response of faith like Mary's. That's how you engage that faith. That's how you live out the promise. Now, whether it stays as one act, or it becomes something like multiple ministries, like Michelle. I mean, she could obey a promise to choreograph a dance. And I can almost guarantee you she's got 7 other promises welling up inside of her, right? At all times. See, when you engage your faith to carry a promise, then the Lord responds. He likes that because he really does want to be with us, and he really does enjoy all those little things that he put inside of you, Kenzie. All those little things that he put inside of every single one of you. You, even. Right? He wants to engage those things because there is a lost and dying world outside of these doors, and the promises that are in us are not for here. Right? Yeah, they bless and they minister, but they are to bring light where? To the world. So the promise that you walk in, the promise that you carry, is not for you. Newsflash. Sometimes it's for your family, like putting food on the table or, you know, going to work. Those are good promises, and they're faithful acts. So don't slight them. You don't have to be Mary called to carry the king to the world. But we are like Mary in that we respond in faith to carry hope. All right? Okay, so that's that. And then the next part, I'll just wrap it up with this. When I was praying about this word, I really felt like the Lord highlighted the phrase brought forth. She brought forth. I don't know if you can get to that one, Amy, but it's so simple. She brought forth her firstborn son. Aww. Has anybody here had a kid? What? She brought forth her firstborn son. That's like unwrapping a Dove chocolate. I bring forth Dove chocolate out of its wrapper. That's not childbirth, guys. I'm telling you. And if you haven't had a kid, you need to understand that even giving birth to a promise is work. And we need to not be afraid of the word work. I'm not saying we're slaves. I'm saying we're working with our dad, right? All right, so what is carrying a promise? It's engaging your faith, but bringing it forth is work. Don't be afraid of work. It's not a bad word, right? It's okay to work, right? Okay, so then when we think about bringing forth the word, I guess I just want to wrap it up by saying it's not going to always be in the time you want. It's not always going to be in the way that you want. Do you really think Mary wanted to be in a stable? Do you really think that? But what an amazing, beautiful, redemptive picture of what God was doing in the world at that moment to bring salvation in the midst of filth, right? To place a baby destined to carry the weight and all the sin, all of our shame, all the reasons why we shouldn't be here today celebrating, but we can because there is no more veil, right? Because he was born. Because a few steps earlier, Mary said, you know what? So be it. I'll carry that promise. And I'll engage my faith. Right? And then Joseph had some role in that too. And so let me just tie this all together by saying that there's no way you do this alone. Carrying hope is not something we can do alone. Ever. If you think you can, we need to pray with you. Because that's one of the primary ways that the enemy gets us from carrying and walking in our destinies as sons and daughters of the Most High God, is to get us isolated, get us thinking we can do this alone, and not understand that the gifts and callings of the persons in this room are meant to knit together to form a beautiful picture of all these little hopes. I just see these little sacks, these little dewdrop type things of hope and promise. Not for us, remember, because it's not for us, it's for the world. And you bring that by strengthening one another, by encouraging one another, right? And by living together in community and worshiping together. Does that make sense? So, I didn't really cover Joseph's role. You got to know that Joseph had a lot to do with Mary actually getting there. How many times did Joseph have to hear, go protect your family, go protect your family, go protect your family, go protect your family? Do you know how many times? That man had them moving all over the place. And while we're talking about it, how significant is it that they had to go to Egypt? Another redemptive move. Do you really think Mary thought in her wildest dreams she would be back in Egypt where all of her forefathers or all of Joseph's forefathers were held captive? But what a redemptive place for that to be, for them to seek refuge there and then come back after Herod had passed away. But then Joseph had another visit from an angel. Herod's son is after you guys. So there's just like promise after promise and hope after hope and word after word. And then Jesus, of course, is able to live. Are we good? All right.
Say hallelujah. I'm going to articulate some things. A couple of weeks ago, the word was recognizing, right? Was about recognizing so we could respond, so we can receive. There was a word reminding us last week that the Lord has spoken things to us in 2017, and 2017 is not over. There may be 15 days left. Am I calculating that right? Does it really matter if there's 15 minutes left? If the Lord said something in 2017, he's going to take that promise to the bank, right? Let's put our hands on our hearts. I love that Catherine really was able to captivate the children. All of us who share up here should go share with the children. We'll get a higher level of honor and respect because they're listening. Everyone, hands on your heart. Lord, we thank you that 2017 is not over. Lord, we thank you that we can feel our heartbeat and we can feel the breath in our lungs, and that's because you're not done yet. There's promises that you've made. We're reminded today that you are the hope. And I just say into us that there's things that maybe are fluttering and flickering. We may not think that they're that bright. And I say that the wind of the Holy Spirit breathe upon us today. Breathe upon us today. You're a promise keeper. You're a faithful Father. We're here to celebrate you. We're here to invite you into our lives in fullness. Into every nook and cranny. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask, family time wouldn't be complete without a story. And I like being everybody's uncle. I'm going to ask all the kids to come up front right fast. Miss Catherine was headed off into the wild blue yonder with Joseph. Another vision for today came from this book. It says, Jesus Party, have a seat right here. Anyone that, especially if you're going to help us at the end, I need you to just come up. Amy's going to put some pictures up on the front up here, so you don't go too far back because we want to be able to see the screen. Adults, sometimes we make life complicated. You don't have to be complicated. See, we're going to hear from what it was like to be the innkeeper. I thought this book was called The Innkeeper. It says Jesus' Party. It's kind of letting it out at the end. Can you see this? If you can't see this, you can look up at the front. The innkeeper liked to sleep. Now, you know what? I like talking about the innkeeper. I have a huge house, and I rent the rooms out. If you need a room, I'll rent it to you. And so, but I like to sleep. And so there was nothing that the innkeeper liked to do more but to sleep. Do you see him snoozing up there? But all of a sudden, he had a knock at the door. Can you give me some feet? Or some hands, knock, knock, knock at the door. He was a little perturbed, and he answered the door, and he said, no room. And who was there, Mary and Joseph? And they said, but we're tired. We've come a long way through night and day. And he said, well, there's a stable round the back. Say, round the back. And he said, here's two blankets. And he said, sign the register. He slammed the door. And he, stomped back up the stairs. Are you sure? Okay, he did it. And he tried to go back to sleep, but then later there was another knock at the door. And who was standing at the door? It was Joseph. And he said, do you have just one more? Just one more blanket? A smaller blanket. He found a smaller blanket. What do you think he did? He slammed the door, and then he marched back up the stairs he went. But then there was a bright light. Say, bright light. Bright light. Oh my gosh, it was so bright it woke him up. What do you think happened then? The innkeeper said, this picture's not up there. He said, that's all I need. And I don't think he was grateful. Can you say, that's all I need is to be woke up? He saw the light, he shut the door, and what do you think he did? Back up the stairs he went. But then there was another knock at the door. And who was it this time? It was the shepherds. And he said, what's the matter? You lost your sheep? That was a joke. You're supposed to laugh. What's the matter? You lost your sheep, shepherds? Ha, ha, ha. We've come to see Mary and Joseph. And he said, round the back. Say, round the back. Mm-hmm. And what do you think that the innkeeper did? Slammed the door and went back up the stairs. There was yet another knock at the door. Look at what it did to him. He's just come right up out of the sheets. Thank goodness his PJs didn't come off. And now there are three kings. And the king said, we've come. And he yelled, round the back. kind of knocked their crowns off their head. Good thing that that doesn't happen in heaven. And what do you think he did? He slammed the door, and he went back up the stairs. Oh, my goodness. Wait a second. That was the last part, wasn't it? But then the chorus came. Singing woke him up. Oh, I got to turn the page. And he says, right, that does it. So he got out of bed, and he stomped down the stairs. He threw open the door, and he went round the back. He stormed into the stable and was just about to speak when he heard, shh, do it with me, shh, whispered everyone, there's a baby in the manger. A baby had been born. Oh, said the innkeeper looking crossly, and just at that moment, amazingly, his anger seemed to fly away. Oh, said the innkeeper, isn't he lovely? Now, what do you think that the innkeeper did? No. He maybe thought about it, but you know what? He was so overcome and filled up that he ran back into the inn and he woke up all the people in the inn. Because he was so excited and he thought it was so special, he wanted everyone to know. Well, when Joseph said one of them looks like a porcupine, Joseph, when you wake up, you look like a porcupine. So, and what happened? Is there one more slide? There was a big celebration. How about that? Come on. Excellent. Excellent. Are you ready, Michelle? So what I know, Miss Michelle, you guys have prepared what I think would be the excitement that the innkeeper, that the shepherds, that the angels felt. And I'm going to say this to us out there. We do get to watch, but the benefit at this moment is that maybe you came in a little bit of humdrum. I know two people that did. And they came in a little bit of a humdrum. But we're called to be excited about the Lord. We're called to be excited about the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to ask if you're standing next to one of these lights. Come on, Dana. I'm going to ask you to just turn these lights out. Swifty, if you could shut those lights off. Amy, if you could turn the screen off or blacken it. I'm sorry. Now, the best part about you guys acknowledging each other's gifts, the light that's in you. Would you care to turn that light off, Chris, for me? I'm going to see if this works. It's always great to have an object lesson that someone else tested. Many of you asked, they said, what's on this paper that I'm writing on? I even wrote on the back. Can you guys unplug those lights that are back there? Sorry. Rachel had a vision, and she said, what if we acknowledged, you just have to unplug that one, Robbie, behind you. What if we acknowledged what other people did, and the tree burned bright on its own? And I don't know if you can see, those all of your ornaments are, you can see them amidst the tree, amidst other parts of the room. And I know that Daniel had an object lesson. We usually, when we have candlelight, we talk about this. But there's a reality that all of us could walk towards this tree because of our good works. If you went into Dorothea and Peyton's play, that they were sharing about it there, that there's an opportunity, and Catherine said it, it's receiving the hope in us, and when we respond and we give opportunity for the Lord to respond, we're giving others an opportunity to respond. And I want to encourage you that the light that's in you isn't just for yourself. Amen? Amen. All right. I think, Swifty, if you'll just turn on that one light in the back. I asked Dana if we could end. She's close to me, I think, with a song. She's going to lead us together. And then I'm going to pray to close us.
Okay. Let's all stand and just sing Joy to the World. The kids are going to lead us, really. You ready, guys? We're going to sing Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King.
Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
He rules. The world with truth and grace,
and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Joy to the world. Joy to the
world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room.
And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
You guys are awesome right here. Can I ask for two guys right up here? Can you guys hold a bubble for me? Keep breathing through your nose. I am going to share this. I think George and Jen are going to slip up here. Maybe some other people that pray at the end are going to slip up here. There's a reality. I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to ask Craig to pray that there are some of us who are in that place that would say, this was a foreign subject to me. And you guys have been talking about light in your life, and that's something that I want to experience. And there's some of you that say, gosh, I know what that means, and I've let that light go out. It's really, Jesus is never out. I mean, we can try to like put our hand on top of it. Maybe your hand's burning, you know, and he wants you to uncover it. There's a reality that the Lord wants to live in us, and when we say, hey, come and live in us, then what he promises to us is to keep blowing his wind on us, and it causes that fire to be brighter and brighter. But sometimes we put things in front of it to resist the wind. And so if you're in one of those two spots today, I'm going to encourage you, don't leave today without letting someone interact with you, stand with you, so that you get to walk out of this place transformed. You may say, I don't want to come up front. That's fine. There's probably someone sitting next to you that's willing to pray with you. But there's a reality that we get to respond. We've heard that word today, responding, to receive, and to step out in that. And I'm going to encourage you this. There's going to be noise because we're noisy people. It will still be you and Jesus. So, Craig, would you pray for us?
Yeah. Man, Lord God, Lord Jesus, you're so good. You're so good, Lord. I thank you that your word is truth, Lord. I thank you that the light indeed does shine in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it, God. I thank you, Lord, that your light shines, Father God. Your light shines in us, Lord God. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that we, Father God, by your grace, can come to a deeper awareness of just how real your light is in us, Lord. How real your light is in this body, Father. How real your light is, Father God, for this world, Lord. And I pray, Father God, in this moment, Lord God, that you would speak to hearts even now, Lord Jesus. That you would speak to hearts, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you would just draw us nearer to you, Father God. Just make us more aware of your light, of who you are in us, Father God. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just help us, Father God, to come to just a deeper understanding of who you are in us, Father God, who we are in you, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that we would simply say, Lord, I choose, Father God, to respond to you, to your light, to your goodness, to your mercy, to your grace, Father God, because you're the one who draws us closer. You're the one who draws us near, Father God. It's because of who you are and what you've done, Father God, that we're able, Lord, we're able, Father God, to just just be who you've called us to be, Father God, to come to a deeper awareness of you, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that we just, again, you would just continue just to bring revelation of who you are, Father God. Your light, Lord God, your light. You are so good, Lord. You are so good, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Children, I'm going to ask you to quietly, we're going to turn the lights on. I want you to go back and find your parent and stay with them. I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbor and say, he is the light. Turn to your other neighbor and say, he wants to live inside of you. He wants to burn brightly. If the Lord's speaking to you and you want to pray with someone, I'm going to ask you to come up front. I'm going to release you to fellowship and enjoy one another. In about 12 minutes, they're going to start stacking chairs for dinner. And if you volunteered for that, I'm going to ask you to stick around. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Come back for dinner.